Support this podcast at patreon.com/rednews.
Hello everyone, it's Red News Podcast 110, and what do we start with? Do we talk football? Do we talk the Glazers? Not much has happened apart from Avrom on the move and his ponytail and the arrogance and just the startling, almost, description of United, really, that he got in his 200 grand car with the ponytail, this ghastly individual, and you think, you pine for better times when our board were going into brothels and that's all you had to worry about. And I thought Avram would get just turned down, wouldn't he? But grotesque. And I'm no oil painting, but the stunning just arrogance. And it's been said plenty of times, but the pictures at Old Trafford, I mean, this is where United's lost its way. The whole thing is broken, but that no one at the club is going, hang on, what message are we sending out? And it's like a few people have said, you know, when they should be building bridges, they're building massive barricades. And it's just startling. And the only thing is, it's a massive own goal, because I think sponsors will not want to be associated with a sport. They want PR, saccharine, sugar-coated, everything's fine and dandy while we exploit you and take your money. And you're putting up 20-foot fences, you know, not 20-foot, but you know what I mean? It's just like you're actually, whoever's advising and whoever's there is just making mistake after mistake. But, you know, you I'm preaching to the converted here, the letter from Joel, it's just, if it had been written like in May 2005, you'd give it some credence that they're going to look at the ground and they're going to look at this and they're going to look at that. But 16 years, who are you kidding? You're just trying to waffle, you're trying to appease, you're trying to buy time. But all I keep saying is I hope Reds don't fall out. And I hope that somehow we can find as much common ground that as many of us can go along with, and it doesn't end up into the usual infighting. And I will say, I think, you know, just Reds on Thursday, don't get nicked. I think the police have got a bad feeling, will be batting happy. Just, you know, it's just, but it will, I'm never going to tell anyone what to do, or I'll repeat myself over and over again. I just hope that we can unite. But it's an awful, it's just awful. And when I think, you know, like the joy that United gave me second half today, Cavani and all that, then you return to your thought process about the club itself. And it's just like, my world, obviously, we're all going out, we're starting to do stuff again, like life's getting better. But when I put my mind to United and the off field, it's just like a lingering dark cloud. Right, so I will say, lots to cover today. I'm joined by Shane, Nick, who trolled me this evening with some abuse on Twitter, Coggy, and first of all, I shall go to the gallant, still going Ben, who, what did you do today, Ben? You picked up a 9-pint keg.
I picked up a 9-pint keg at the local. It sounds more gallant than it is, because I wasn't on my own. I had the father-in-law with me, so we went to the local. We had a couple of pints before the game, and as we were walking out, so as is the way at the moment, you got to walk through the pub, put your mask on, walk through the pub, go into the beer garden, have a couple of pints, and then on the way out, put your mask back on, walk back through the pub. We noticed they had a couple of they were selling kegs, 9-pint kegs. So we decided to purchase one on the way out. This was about 10 to 2 as we were on our way back to watch the game at my house. It sounded like a lot, you know, but between two of us, it was only another 4.5 pints. We'd had a couple already, so.
I like the way it's the fault of walking through the pub. It's that's what's to blame.
They had it, you know, just as you're walking through the pub, it's there on the bar.
How dare they try and sell alcohol in a pub?
Well, you're, you know, so, we're trying to do our bit to keep.
No, I'm impressed.
But, you know, they've obviously had a tough time, so.
Nick looks relatively calm and sober, so you've taken the baton off him tonight. Right, so Ben, go on. What do you want to talk about, football or finance?
Well, both, I suppose. I mean, it's been an interesting few days, hasn't it? Since we were all down at Old Trafford and they got the game stopped, and we've talked all about that, but probably the big news of the last 24 hours was the sponsorship deal falling on its arse. So, I mean, I think ultimately that was, I wouldn't say it's an unforeseen, I had a conversation with my brother actually, who said it was an unforeseen consequence of the process last week. I don't think it was unforeseen as such, because, you know, that was the sort of thing we were aiming for. But I don't think anyone would have expected within a week on the back of one process that it would have lost £200 million. So, you know, that's the result really, isn't it? And I think it gives people, it gives it a bit of momentum and it gives people a reason to turn out on Thursday. I don't think there's a chance that the game will not be played on Thursday. I mean, you were talking about, you know, a minute ago, they're obviously getting the barricades up. I'd be surprised if the team are in the Lowry. You know, so I think it's very unlikely that the game will be stopped again on Thursday. But, you know, the point has been made for me. And I think if, you know, thousands turn up again outside the ground, then, you know, it's going to be very visible and keep making that point. So looking forward to that.
I would say, like, the sponsors thing, for years, you know, like, there's been so many rows and arguments, you know, oh, do you just targeting the sponsors? But clearly, and I get it, it's a local-based company, so they are very more worried. But you think there is just an inkling, as I say, and I think sponsors do not want in their PR wankathons, you know, that they sell the image of sport that we know doesn't really exist. They will not want... You know, they say it's just like, it's interesting where, because like listening back to last week's podcast and what happens next, you know, what's day one after that, you know, like the owners. And I suppose all we can try and do is just, if you know that the reality is you've got Avram Glazer so contemptuous, then all you can do is just do what, you know, keep it going.
He's contemptuous, but he's not going to be contemptuous this morning when he's just found out that he's lost a £200 million deal, is he?
No.
You know, that's the language they understand is money. And I think you're right. I mean, the fact that they are a local sponsor, ultimately, is they're twitchy because they feel that, I mean, of all the major sponsors, I think they're probably the only one that is local. So they're going to get targeted the most, and they've walked around that base. I don't imagine that Adidas and TeamViewer will be quite as twitchy. But even so, it makes a huge statement, doesn't it? £200 million.
But there are reports of, you know, Adidas not being happy with it, and you think, I don't know, there's so much happening. I can't keep tracking. It's out of, you know, as I said before, the momentum with the younger Reds and just the way that everything, you don't know. Like, it's almost like, the last week's been quite a bit. It hasn't at all. But the speed of it. Right, so sorry. Right, and then I'm going to go to Shane. Quick talk on gutting, like looking at... I just staring the other night at maps and green, amber, like red. And I was even thinking, I took the piss to Nick, should we just fucking book a 3-day Euro away to the Falkland Islands, which is green, and watch the final there? But it's like, I haven't missed... And this isn't a biggie... bollocks, but and Coggy will be longer. I haven't missed a final since 83, and I feel gutting. You know, all the talk, we always joked, I always thought slim hopes we'll have Gdansk, but I just cannot see, unless you can, you know, quarantine when you're back. And even then, it seems so perverse. You can buy your way out after 5 days. You can buy yourself out of COVID. You can bribe it. You're not going to come for me now. I've bought it. Sorry, it's a
like
shame.
Anything. It's like anything, isn't it? If you've got enough money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I must admit, I went from a bit of a high from getting to the, you know, a European final, the Ole chance of winning the trophy that we've talked about a lot. So I went to bed sort of Thursday night, Friday morning, a bit giddy, thinking there's a chance we could actually go and see it in person. Sort of feeling there, but even giddier, thinking there's a possibility of, you know, just doing a day or whatever, and then sort of like the sobering reality that you've got to have sort of like four vaccinations, and it's going to cost about £400, and you've got the quarantine, and just, yeah, I must admit, put a bit of a down on it for me. I'm kind of, in some ways, it's easy to say, come on, go, but yeah, I haven't given up on it, but I must admit, I think it was Friday night, Saturday morning, I was up till about 3:30, plotting out. I went through every one of the government's lists, trying to find local testing places that were affordable. And I must admit, I woke up Saturday thinking, that's not what it's about. You know what I mean? It's like, it's becoming quite it's always a little bit of a stress booking European trips and trying to get on flights before they get too expensive, etc. But this one, it just felt a bit wrong, to be honest with you. And then you're kind of thinking, well, the only way out of it might be a day trip. And then I've got a bit of a, you know, it's a very personal thing, but you've got a bit of a dilemma about, well, is that putting money into the pocket of a, you know, a club partner, and you're trying to do the opposite at the moment. So, yeah, it's a bit... bit of a head wrecker at the moment, so I've tried to have a day away looking at maps and looking at flights and thinking I'm going to see what happens. I haven't given up. But yeah, I think, and going back to the kind of protest stuff, I must admit, like that, the thought of missing the European final and the protest last week, like today's game, I started watching it, and as good as it was to see us come back, it made me realise that football itself is sort of very much sort of third place for me at the moment. And you know, going back to the protest, I think, you know, the police will have it boxed off. It was a bit sickening, really, to see Old Trafford boarded up like it was. And, you know, it seems a little bit over the top for me, but it just shows how determined they are not to.
But that's, and Shane, this is 3 days before the game, so fucking, they'll have barbed wire and it'll be like fucking cold. It's, if they keep going at this rate, they, you know, like, yeah, if they're doing that today.
It made me think that we should be celebrating, you know, a pretty decent season. Obviously, we want United to be top of the pile, but given where we were, a sort of solid second place is no mean feat. But I was actually thinking today, do you know, if there is another protest, and I think I agree with Ben, I think it's unlikely, but fair play for trying. If the game did get called off, I thought actually that the thing that would hurt the Glazers most is obviously the sponsorship stuff that Ben's touched on, and that's a real, real result. I've often felt that it's a sponsorship. You know, I was not renewing, you know, it's a personal thing. I don't think that hits them, to be honest with you. I think that the sponsorship deals do. And I think actually, you know, fuck it. You know, we got docked points and it drops us, you know, we dropped out of Champions League places. Okay, that would be a sickener for the players and for us. But maybe for the longer term, that's the sort of shit that has to happen to make the past the budge. So, yeah, I kind of think it's a funny headspace at the moment where I'm finding it quite hard to celebrate the football because there suddenly seems to be a bigger thing at play.
It is. But I often think for myself, just myself, like when periods like this reiterate the love United, hate Glazer, because I'm far, and people, and the problem is how you unify, because there's some people who want, you know, Old Trafford to burn. You know, if the Glazers are here, then they don't want any kind of, you know, anything, because they're just that poisonous. And I am more love United, hate Glazer. I can separate it. So for the second half today, I was really, and I was watching it without, I'm really into it. So there's never like, but it's how you align the people who are the extremes on either side, you know, to stop abusing. And that's none of this is new. Sorry, Nick, and then I'll go Coggy. I'm going to stop saying sorry today. Go on, Nick.
You apologise more on this podcast than the Glazers I've done in 17 years. Are we allowed to talk football?
Yes, of course you are.
It's a football podcast, but is that against the norm, is it? Or,
no.
Because no one's actually spoken about any football. And I was coming on here thinking, I'm feeling quite buoyed a little bit about football today. But I wanted to come on and have a bit of a chat. But, you know, if you want to talk about off the field stuff, you know, that's
no, but
fine.
I think Nick, we've got to cover.
I did enjoy those.
We've got to cover it all.
I was going to say, I did enjoy those photos of the Berlin Wall. The wall that the Glazers have decided to build up outside Old Trafford this week. Keep out the pesky Mongolians or whatever it is. You know, they could spend the money on fixing the roof and things, but no, it's fine. We'll spend our money on tightened security and things like that. That did make me laugh. To go back to the Roma game on Thursday, I thought that was probably one of the best games I've watched this season. I mean, it wasn't great, I suppose, in terms of getting beat, but it's an entertaining end-to-end game. It was quite a watch. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it was great to see Donny van de Beek get 90 minutes in the match. I didn't think he was particularly great, but it was nice for him to play, I suppose. I was starting to wander towards the end of it, and I thought, well, look, like we're going to go through with a few minutes to go. It was all assured. So I started to Google where the Super Cup is. I don't know if anyone's had a look where the Super Cup final's being
Belfast. Shane's fucking booked it.
Most of us have booked it already.
Shane booked it about a year ago.
Nick.
I was just going to say, I thought, could you imagine if it's an all-Manchester final and it's just the flights from Manchester being an absolute fortune, wouldn't they be sending over there? I was thinking about the Europa League final, and I was thinking as well after it, thinking that, you know, I imagine most of the people maybe that are going to come through the ballots thinking it's quite easy. A lot of Polish fans are probably going to apply and they're going to go there. I was thinking maybe that might play into our hands. I mean, we've obviously got a decent following, probably a lot of sports clubs that are based in Poland, and I'm thinking a fair few of them might apply and turn up like they did for, you know, in Moscow for the final and in Astana and stuff. And I thought, well, I was thinking maybe it'd be quite good if they, we might have not sort of home field advantage, if you will, but it'd be nice to play into the hands if there's a few supporters in there. I thought, really, in terms of the game for today, though, it, they started okay, obviously, going 1-0 down. Seemed to be a bit of a catalogue errors, didn't it really, for the first goal. I thought McTominay did poor, Fred did poor, Lindelof obviously just didn't clear his lines and it went in. But obviously, we managed to come back with a great second half performance. I thought Wan-Bissaka played well today. I know you tweeted out saying Shaw played well, and I agree, I thought he did play quite well today. But I was quite impressed by Wan-Bissaka. I thought he actually offered something going forward on the right-hand side. And I think, you know, we always say if the good give them praise, if the shit come them out. And I thought that for him today, I thought he actually offered something going forward. You know, we got a nice little pass to Pogba for to win the penalty. I suppose he can have to call it an assist, I suppose, really, for Mason Greenwood today. So I thought he was quite good, really. I thought he was one of our best performances. One of the things that I did like, though, about the game today is that Sky showed a graphic just after the second half had started, and it showed about the charts for second half goals this season. I don't know if anybody saw it, but it's got us based at the top. But obviously, we scored an extra three today, so I think that makes them probably going to be back ahead by about 10 goals of the next team in the league. I know it's not like me to bang the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer drum, I know it's not, but I thought that, you know, whether it's today, if it's Southampton away, Spurs away, or whatever it is this season, you know, he's clearly doing something right at half-time. And, you know, again, one or two more players, and I know we keep saying it, but this, again, today, just keeps reaffirming that if we can get an extra player, extra two, three players, or whatever it is, I really feel confident that he's the man to spend this money. And if he can keep Cavani there, he can get someone else to give him some more service or whoever it might be. I think this is a real good squad in the making. And again, you know, if we win the games in hand and before City play, we're only, what, 4 points behind City? You know, I know it's not a title race, don't get me wrong, but we're not really
I know we had the conversation, you know, like if we hadn't lost to Sheffield United, and Coggy said, well, if City hadn't lost, I'll tell you, Ollie deserves it. I know his press conferences and I know he doesn't do himself favours many times when he appears in front of camera, but he deserves massive kudos for this season. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, that we need to change the dynamic, I thought, today, because the amount of times we've said, you know, I know the first halves, but you have to change that to how good the second halves are. And also, you know, like, does he improve players? Well, Wan-Bissaka is a much better player. We were saying he needs to add to his game. Now, he's clearly not the finished article, but the improvement in Shaw, the man management of Shaw, who I think is outstanding consistently. And as I tweet, you know, to come back from the injury, the doubt is his own manager slagging him off repeatedly. To do that and then have the assurity coming forward. And do you know what the best thing about today was? At halftime, I didn't look on Twitter to see the fallout, but I thought, oh yeah, we've got this. I just knew we had it. And that deserves massive praise. You know, there comes a point when you stop saying, oh, this and that and that, and you say, we are unbeaten in all this away. Right, Coggy, come on, mate.
Yeah, I mean, just before I talk about today's game, I intend going to Poland. And I was telling my four kids about it. And I said, the only problem is I'll have to quarantine for 10 days. And when they found out that part of the quarantine was my birthday, they went, well, what about all the things we've arranged, all the places we're going out with your grandkids for your birthday? What would you rather do? And I said, well, in fairness, I'd rather go to Poland. So I've got four kids not talking to me at the minute. which is bliss. Anyway, just going on today, do you know something? We started off really well. I mean, I, you know, it's the same old story. First half generally was not particularly good. But we started off really well. We're on the front foot. We're pushing forward. Final ball was less in the stone. And then we gave away the most stupid goal going. I mean, you know, defensively, that was an absolute mare. Fred to start off with, then McTominay, and then Lindelof. And that just then threw us back for the rest of the second half. But I think if one thing is endorsed today, and we all know this, is A, Lindelof isn't good enough, and B, Rashford is not a centre-forward, Mason Greenwood isn't ready for it, and just how much we miss Cavani when he's not on the pitch. And I know we've had the discussion that, first of all, we've got to keep Cavani, but we've still got to get that 25-year-old goal scorer, because we've just not got anybody up front, you know, unless Cavani's playing. And he won't play every game.
Greenwood gives me hope. Greenwood gives me hope, Cookie. I mean, you know, not just the goals ratio, but I think his development, his physique, you know, he's getting bigger. I just think we'll see. I think not for, you know, like I think with Nick, if we get a centre back, if we get a holding midfielder and a centre forward, that none of these are we going to get. Yeah, sell your cars, Avram. But
I'm not writing. Don't get me wrong. Rashford will never make a centre forward. I think he's past the age now where we can say he'll develop into it. And you know, he's more effective on the left hand side than he is on the right, and that's a good position for him. And he scores goals from a position. I'm not writing Greenwood off, don't get me wrong, but is he 19 at the moment? Mm. I think physically he's got to develop. His runs and his game in the centre of the attack have got to develop. But he's learning his trade in that position on the right, and I've got no issues with that. But, I mean, for instance, today, we got nobody in the middle, did we? Until Cavani came in on the pitch, we didn't have anybody in the middle. For when we were pushing forward.
Well, his instinct for goal is just, you know, that's world class. That's the quality that does win you titles, isn't it? That's an innate ability to know exactly when to make your runs and to be there. And that's the thing. And, you know, we know he's slowing up. We know he's not fully fit and you have to utilise him. But he's class, you know. Please, I hope we get to see him in a ground. I really do, you know. But what do you, like the Joel letter, you know, I thought, I keep thinking PR, like the thick of it, you know, and that there's someone, he's not even, like, he's not even fucking written it, but, you know, like the PR company going, don't call them legacy fans. What have you made off the field with since last week?
I had it come through an email, I printed it off and shoved it in a bin.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
Because that's what he deserves. I mean, it was a load of bullshit, and you know, I give it no credence whatsoever. As I think it was Nick said earlier on, or you actually, if that had come in 2005, then you'd have thought, oh yeah, there's hope here. But he's not communicated with us since then. So you know, file that where it deserves to be.
I was glad that Avram got doorstep though, because that's the sort of pressure as well. You know, for all what we want to do and we can do, you need governments on board. You need that pressure to continue.
Yeah. Ben started this off going on about the Hook Group and obviously withdrawing their sponsorship. And I can understand why they've done it, because I think they were a bit concerned they might get a visit from the NEC or somebody like that. So I can understand why they're doing it and others aren't. But those few first days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of last week, there was a lot of social media activity on Trustpilot, and it did impact on those companies, you know, to the point where, you know, Trustpilot was actually emailing everybody back to say, is this a genuine complaint about TeamViewer, you know, et cetera. So we have got to attack the sponsors via social media, not buying the products, because they will, even if they're not locally based. If they're a multinational company, they won't like adverse comments about their brand. And I think that's what we've got to do, because that will hit the Glazers.
Well, money, it's purely money, you know. Like, as someone put, you know, we'll look into shares. Yeah, if you buy us for £4 billion, you know, it's just a repulsive circle of despondency when it comes to them. And it actually, it made me a mix of anger and sadness seeing that Avram clip, because I just thought the ponytail enough is enough to make me almost hurl my guts up. So, like Ben?
Well, seriously, he's had his head shaved. But if he goes to the barber, clearly, you know, when they hold the mirror up to show you the back, the barber's never held the mirror up to him, because someone must hate him more than others, let him grow that, and he just doesn't know it's there. No one can consciously do that to themselves.
Just likes that look.
God help us. I tell you what, no one has properly explained in all this Gdansk talk what the Polish bar situation is. That's been my concern since day one. Are they open? Will they serve you? Will they allow you to drink till daft o'clock? Right, Ben, go on, you wanted to speak.
Well, no, I was just going to say, I mean, the sponsorship thing, you know, obviously I referenced this at the beginning, and, you know, ultimately,
as we said, that's a language they understand. But I mean, that avenue has been approached before, hasn't it? You know, I remember, you know, personally, like, you know, Flashlight in Vodafone and Nike, and, you know, we won't buy Nike or Vodafone, and that didn't get them out, you know, didn't get them out in 2005. I suppose the situation is different now. I mean, they'd ultimately just bought the club then, and now they might be wobbling in terms of, you know, would they be willing to sell it? So if the sponsors start, well, you know, clearly one sponsor has already started to get wobbly. I'm not convinced Adidas and TeamViewer necessarily will, but, you know, the bottom line is, if they decide that, you know, they might be interested in selling it, it's still a long kind of a long-term situation, really, isn't it? Because, you know, they put it up for sale, that's going to take a long time, somebody else comes in, and, you know, so we're still a long way from completely getting rid of them.
I sometimes have these moments, well, lots these days at old age, but of just, wouldn't it be nice to wake up to news like that the nice philanthropist billionaire who's out there, who supports United, has fucking said, I've bought them, lads.
Tomorrow morning, Joe Glazer could say, we've decided to sell the club. That doesn't mean the club sold, does it? You know, I mean, Newcastle had those false dawns. Yeah. He said, OK, I'm going to sell the club. And, you know,
well, we've got
offers on the table, and it hasn't gone through. So I think, you know, we just need to kind of bear that in mind, really, don't we?
And we've got the voting rights A and voting rights B. It's just repulsive. You think, you know, you grow up to cheer Cavani winners, and we've got, you know, a situation with a club not even based here, and you know about PIKs, you know about hedge funds, you know, you've learned all these, and it made me, fuck knows, it just pisses me off. I will say, I've done some, on the football side, I've done some research, lads. Do you want to hear this? I've actually done some nerd research, nickel like this. So I watched, because I thought, study the opponent, Villarreal. Nick, their goalie is Pony. He's shit. We can get at their goalie. He's terrible. He was flapping like the wind in that second leg, and they got away with it.
You've cursed it there, Barney. He's going to fucking play a blind.
He's going to be leading to Glasgow at Upton Park in 95 again.
No.
Yeah, I remember Barney saying that about Brad Friedel once.
Don't. That fucker came back to haunt us.
Sergio Asensio is a good keeper.
On the goalkeeper note, I am interested to hear people's views on who we should play in goal in the final.
De Gea, because he's played it, and he didn't win. He didn't win it last time. He deserves to go out if he is going out on a trophy. I'd love him to, with great chance.
Better keeper for me personally.
Yeah, Henderson. I don't know. Henderson doesn't do much wrong, does he? But he does. It's interesting.
I'm not convinced he's the better keeper necessarily, but I do agree. Personally, I would play him in the final because, you know, he had a blind the other night, didn't he? And like you say, he didn't play in the final, what was it, 4 years ago? So I think he does deserve that opportunity. But and Henderson, you know, if he is going to like establish himself, he's going to get the chance in future. You would hope to win honours with us, but. I think it's an interesting one.
I think with
it's a big decision for Solskjaer.
I think with injuries, if all are fit, Ollie's only changing one position. I think it's who he goes up third top. You know, I think every other position.
He's definitely select
De Gea. Yeah, I think he'll go with the league thing. You know that Henderson's my league keeper and De Gea, but I think he's got his 10. Sorted already, and it's just that 11th position who he decides up top.
So I agree with Coggy earlier that if you watch the game today, and I, you know, before my gloom stuff at the start, I did watch it, I did enjoy that second half. Is that in the first half, it was a little bit frustrating because you haven't got people following up on the shots. When there were positions to cross the ball in or put a ball into the box, we were a bit slow at making those runs into the box. And Greenwood. Like, in fairness, I've been really impressed with him again today. But as Coggy said, we didn't have that natural sense forward. And that's the runs that Cavani makes make the difference. He makes a chance by putting himself in a position to get on the end of those balls. And I think the first half was so obvious that we were lacking that number nine, as Coggy said. So I think Cavani's got to start out there.
I love the way that Bruno was snarling away through the first half. Like, for fuck's sake, we've done this 11 times or whatever it is this season. Get your ass together and sort this out. Last things before we go more general. One, I think someone said Americans don't get it. And Doug and a few others who I respect said, hang on, there's a lot of American Reds who do get it. So that was a generalisation. And the second thing, I was thinking with the Gdansk thing, how we can overthink and how football has changed, because Coggy go on. But, like, you know, the torture, how to do Gdansk, to think of different times. I can remember a Euro away in the 90s when I was at uni. I just decided that morning to go on the Eurostar. I think it was Belgium. Toothbrush, turn up. And then this younger listeners will have no... But your Saturday was like there'd be mates ringing on a fucking old landline and going, are you having it tomorrow? I'll see how I feel in the morning or see how like Friday night goes. And you'd think you'd just, and then if there were some away games, like if there were 30 of you at the station, you'd go, yes. But you had no idea if there would be 10 or 30 of you at the station. You didn't have tickets. You'd get the, you know, you'd arrange your time, 9 o'clock at wherever. And we've overthink, you know, like the many destructions of football, but yet the overthinking, the overanalysis, that it's just a sign of the times. That's another repent of how shit it is. Coggy?
Yeah, it's funny you say that because I remember back in the, I don't know if it was late 70s or early 80s, I can't remember anyway, that I was in the pub one Friday night and I met up with, oh, I've got a spare ticket. You fancy coming down to Wembley tomorrow for the England-Scotland game? So, you know, I went down to that, and like you say now, you're having to plan bloody 2 months in advance, aren't you, to get your tickets and all that sorted out. I just want to make a point, and I don't want anybody to take offence about this, but it's actually Adidas. I worked for the company for a number of years, and it's Adidas because it was formed by a guy called Adi Dassler. So for all those people out there who say Adidas, you're fucking wrong.
Right, and and I will go.
I will never change. I'll never accept it. It's Adidas.
And wow. Nick, how do you feel about abusing me on Twitter just because I said we should sign Cavani long before we did?
I just don't like it when people display the smugness.
I wasn't. I feel
like the only person who can display the smugness in here is me, being right about Ole. So, when you do it, it does irritate me a little bit.
As I said, like, I've had a million opinions in my lifetime and got them all wrong, so it was nice to think. Because I've said this before, but for Cavani, it was like Zlatan. I wouldn't have had him in my middle 20s. I was like, oh. And then they grow into their footballing skin, you know, and then you see them. And then, I've said this many times, you see him in a United shirt, not fucking literally, and you go, God, has he got it? Is that just...
I mean, he looks like he... I mean, people say, like, oh, you know, he loses pace. He doesn't use his pace. He's a fit guy. He makes... He's run today again for the goal. It's the way he bends his runs. It's like he can play that. He plays quite a low key. I mean, just track back a little bit and try to link up play, but why can't he play a fair few games for us next season? And up until recently, he hadn't really scored a great deal of goals. Like, he did go through a bit of a patch towards the start of this calendar year where... he wasn't overly brilliant, let's be honest with him. And he started to really knuckle down over the last, 2 months maybe has it been? Maybe even less than that. And he's really started to motor on.
I think it's because he's more fit. I think he had a niggling injury, didn't he? And he was gaining to form. And then the Premier League or the FA decided to ban him for something ridiculous. And, you know, and I think that knocked him, I don't know, with his confidence or just got pissed off and everything. But... I mean, you know, he just amazes me that he played in the French league for so many years. I mean, why waste your footballing talents playing in that league?
He looks a bit more settled now, doesn't he? Like part of the team, like that. There was an incident in Bone, wasn't there, where he stuck up for Greenwood.
Brilliant.
I thought, he's a proper team man today. Like, and it's not the first time he's going to have a great defensive header, as Nick said. He puts in a chip, doesn't he? Even if it's not coming off the muff properly, he's working his way back. He's sometimes in games, he's been our best bloody defender, you know. So I think a lot of him, and I think it'd be great to see him.
There is a part of me that thinks, you know, this plays in, this will get Avram another fucking hair wash. But it's like, we should be buying another top-class striker and keeping Cavani. It shouldn't be, you know, like we're just settling for that alone. I will say, Shane...
That,
that's the worry, I think, isn't it? You know, that we give Cavani another year and everything's fine. We don't need to buy Harry Kane. And, you know, Cavani's 34, so I'd love to keep him, but we've got to look longer term. We need to be, we should be signing Harry Kane as well. And that, you know, that's the worry. Just nagged me a little bit that we can say, we've got Harry Kane, we've got Cavani, we don't need anybody else.
I was keeping a track on that incident and I was thinking, hang on, Tellez rushed over, but come on, if it's kicking off, I want to see more United players fucking steaming in there. It was good, great seeing Cavani, but I want to see them all go over. I will say, I'm going to do is a dee 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 dee. That sounds like in between us, but I've got my Garlo stat. He's played 5 games for Al Shabab in the Saudi Pro League and he scored 3 times. So, well done, Igalo. That's your update. That's 3 podcasts late.
He's doing well.
Hello, Solid.
How much money do you think he's getting paid there? Fucking hell. It still makes me laugh when Shane said, you know, he needs a rest. What was it, on his Dubai boat in COVID times? Mate, he's clearly not been freezing in a pub. Where that determination, I will enjoy myself, even though it's bitterly cold, it's pissing down. I'm going to finish my pint. Sorry. But so, what happens next? Because this is doing my, you know, my head's been left, right and centre with it all. It's just so odd. We're not seeing each other. It barely, you know, you can see 60. It just feels such a distant. It just feels all lopsided, all of it.
Yeah, it feels a bit like out of kilter that I'm plotting, as a coggy, plotting tests and how to get to, you know, what's the trip and way to do the quarantine to go to Gdansk. But yet I can't, like, go with the 5 of you to a game in Manchester. You know, it just seems out of kilter that we can go to a game in Poland but we can't yet go to a game here. That's a bit of an odd scenario. But I think what's next, Barney, is we're going to win the Europa League, and that'd be a great. We said, you know, I've said all through, and like, I've been an Ollie loyalist too. I think we've always said, you know, whatever happens in the future, I'd love to see Ollie with the trophy just to have that legacy. And I think we've got a massive chance now. Got that semi-final kind of thing off his back. So, yeah, fingers crossed for that. Hopefully Maguire, who I've sort of, like, given criticism for, but, you know, it's some feat that he hasn't missed a minute's football in the league for us. And a bit of a concern to see him go off interstate. But I think we're going to win the Europa League. And I think, I really, like, the second place is a good tick in the box for Ole, but I hope he rests some players now. All that matters to me now is that final football-wise. The rest is a bit immaterial for me as long as we get top
four. They will never take that away from Ollie. And I do. I'm on Nick's giddy boat. They will never take it away if he wins it. And I do think, come on, you would be absolutely gutted. There'll be so many layers to that evening if we're not there, if you can only, you know, you can't even properly congregate with loads of mates, that we'll feel so. But if we were to lose it, I can't even comprehend that. I can't. We've got, but it does work. Emery, he's won it 3 times. He knows what to do. He did a job at the Emirates. That you just think, Ollie's really got to be tactically shrewd, because there'll be a time when if you go 1-0 down, that you can't. So we've got to be at it right from the off. And then, it's just so many things, variables. The summer, you know, the season's nearly over. What happens this summer? What happens this summer? On so many levels.
Well, I think
we
have
to go to the pub.
Yeah, I mean,
no, but I know you know what I mean, though. It's,
we all know that we need to sign more players and better players, and you know, in some ways, I think it depends on what happens with Pogba and De Gea. You know, as far as the transfer budget is concerned, do we sell one or both of those? You know, to get a bit of money in to help buy, but you know, we're not going to spend massive, are we? We know that. We've just got to buy, you know, better players in certain positions, to improve the first team and the overall squad. And we know, we all know what those positions are. It's just whether, you know, the owners are forthcoming with the money.
With so much of a shitstorm, though.
To be fair, Coggy, you could add Lingard onto that as well, because if he carries on playing in a minute West Ham, you could be looking at 20 extra million there. Just guessing, but, you know, they add up, don't they? It's rare for us to be selling a player for that kind of money. I mean, we sold Smalling for nowhere near that, Ubi to Roma, so... That stuff like that does add up now, doesn't it?
It does depress me, though, Nick, that we have to consider, you know, oh, we get 20 million from Lingard for the kitty. You think when... it's just systematic of so many failings on what this football club is. And
this,
like,
led to the protest last weekend.
Well, of course it is.
Like as well, though, isn't it? But again, this is what people don't understand, you know. I mean, I've literally had this conversation at work with people who, you know, claim to be United fans in my office. You know, laughing at me, going, why are you going down there protesting? It's like the Super League's over with. Thinking, like, you follow United, you know, you might watch them on TV or whatever, and you might not go to the games and things, but you still get what the Glazers are about. You know, I've had City fans at work. I've got one of them that's been trying to book his package to Istanbul this week and stuff, and he's been laughing, just saying, like, what are you on about? It's like, they've got you in another European final. You know, so many people are still so out of touch with it. And obviously, we've not done a recording, have we, since Bank Holiday Monday. Well, that's what my week has been like in work. You know, it literally has been just absolute dog's abuse, really, off people who are Reds and people who are Blues. It's my own support in the office. Literally, people have just been giving me abuse for going down there, saying, well, it's all done and dusted, but that's where we're at.
Yeah. There's so many moments that I have to double take where I think, you know, like, as COVID even happened, and you think that I still double take that they tried to, during all of this shit that everyone's going through, that they actually tried to do what they did with the Super League. I still think, oh my God, they got that far. They actually, it's just contemptuous. From Woodward, you know, you forget almost. Sorry, Sean.
It could be a blessing in disguise, in the sense that, like, this protest for us now is all about United and the ownership in our minds. But in the wider world, minds, the media, in some quarters, it was triggered by that Super League. And I think in some ways that's helped get the attention it has. I think in some ways that might go, like, in some perverse way, help our protest, because the Super League thing has given it more time than it would have otherwise, I think.
No, of course, but it's trying to keep government on the side. It's trying to make sure United fans don't fall out. It's trying to think that one day, I just want us all to go to a football match. And we do, you know, when we do that. But one day, I don't want to know what the debt payment... You know, I just want United to be free from all of that shit.
Just going back to the protest, I think the one thing that's disappointed me about the whole thing is, and I should have expected it, is the way the media have turned this into it being a riot. You know, Nick was there and the mass majority of those people that were there behaved and behaved very, very well. Yeah, there was a bit of trouble, but, you know, stand inside Mary D's and sing United on Derby Day, you'll see what real riots
yeah.
like. Well, so, know, I've seen a lot worse than the average league game than that was there last Sunday.
And
the media turned this.
And Coggy, the video of the gates, you know, the narrative that it was United storming through, and you see the video and you think, but why isn't anyone saying this? Hang on, the video doesn't correlate with what United have just said. And as we said, we've said it all last week. It just, if we can somehow all not make the mistakes that we've made before, not fall out with each other. I don't want to see United fans nicked. I certainly don't want to see all the infighting again. But it's for the kids.
There's more community this time than there has been in the past.
Yeah, hopefully.
I think we may not agree with some of the actions that some people have taken. I think there's a greater unity than there has been in 2010 and 2005.
I hope so. My head's fried with it all, just a little bit. Maybe the non-contact with people. I feel like. My real world's all right. I've had a lovely day with my boy today, you know. But the United part of it just feels it doesn't. Mag, we've got a new mag coming out in 2 weeks. Again, to everyone who supported the subscription campaign has blown us away for the kind words about the podcast. It's, sometimes we talk a lot of shit. It's hard. It's really hard because we're not in a pub. I want to be in a pub with everyone. I want to just fucking talk to people properly. I want to see them. So sometimes this is hard to try and make sense of it because I can't fucking make sense of it in my own head.
A little light-hearted bit there.
I need light-hearted, Shane. Feed me it, please.
It wasn't when I was talking to it, might have been, but like the podcast has cut out for me a couple of times. And my wife went out in the car and she said, my phone connected to the Bluetooth. So but for a few moments during this, she was in the car here and just, she said, what the hell? She just heard people talking bollocks. She didn't know what was going on.
I hope she didn't hear certain parts of it.
I'd like to know, Shane, I'd like to know who you dislike this week. This should be a regular feature.
I agree.
I'm going to be more positive. So I was just on another group. I was just, someone shared a bit of a tweet. I think it was like a sort of a new Eddie Cavani to the tune of Don't You Want Me by the Human League. And it made me reminisce about the two backing singers, sort of like, and the brunette one was particularly nice. But then I got into it, I think Stalky is
the blonde,
big Red Nudes supporter, and, you know, long-standing friend. He come back with a blonde, so I'm going to continue that debate after this, that the brunette was better than the blonde.
Can I put a hatred in that the missus likes that Sunday, whatever it's called, Sunday lunch, brunch, fucking twunch, shite, with the Scouser and Lovejoy. And it's like, I hate it. I see them, even the Scouser cutting a line earlier for 10 seconds made me feel, it just got me worked up.
I hear you. My other thing was, we've had it before, was Called the Midwife. I saw some news story that it's going to do a couple more series. It's going to finish in 1969, and that was the year I was born. And that made me resent it even more, the fact that I'm now old enough to appear in some retro Call the Midwife programme.
I asked the mother-in-law, how is Call the Midwife going? She said, it's got dark. I thought, how the fuck can Call the Midwife go dark?
What? Shane, at least you'll know how Coggy feels when he watches Dad's Army now.
Right, Nick, come on. We inject us. Inject every iota of my being with positivity, lightheartedness, happiness, bluebells in the spring, cuckoos.
I've actually got a couple of lighthearted points that I'd like to make from this week.
Please, we need it.
Those of you that do manage to get to the good answer, that are listening, is a wonderful, wonderful city. The bars there are absolutely incredible. It's actually the cheapest pint I've ever had. I would like to throw it out there to the group. Does anyone want to guess how much the pint was?
I think I can remember.
In a very, very nice bar.
Was it?
This was in December 2016.
I'm going, you paid between 7 and 21p.
I'm saying you paid one zloty.
I'm going to say 80p.
Yeah. I don't know what that translates to.
Go on.
That is just right.
How much?
What a great...
You cut out, Nick. The tension. How much?
82p.
82p. Oh, God.
Why is it 82p?
I thought it was 7.
I'd just like to say it's one zloty.
Oh, is it?
Oh,
right, okay.
One of the things
that
I am happy about, though...
Spending 400 quid on... COVID test to some crony of the government, but I can get pints for 80p. That actually will offset. Yeah.
Well, listen,
I think it works out, Shane. If you drink 200, while you're there, you'll actually save money. So if you get 250 pints in like 3 days.
Okay, I've been offered a 3-bedroom villa in Portugal for the period of the Europa League final and swimming pool overlooking the sea. So if I don't go to Gdansk, I'll.
Fucking hell, Coggy.
I'll take advantage of what?
You're living the fucking life. You're getting invited to parties. You're getting invited to restaurants. You're getting invited to Portugal. I've done fuck all for 15 months. If I get down the road, that's considered an achievement.
In fairness, I've done fuck all 15 months as well, but apart from going to protest last week. So anyway, if I decide that I'm not going to Gdansk for one reason or another, then it's a 3-bedroom villa, so... There's two spare bedrooms there, lads, if you want to fly to the Algarve.
Fucking hell.
Big jab, there's no chance I'm coming.
Well, couldn't we go to the Faroe Islands, the Falkland Islands? Where else can we go? Green, amber, fucking hell. What have we become?
Oh, right, that sounds great.
Well, I'm getting my second jab on Tuesday.
I was listening to a good podcast this week, actually, from one of my favourite journalists that's based in America, actually. And he gets to meet with the Glazers once a year at the NFL owners' meetings. And he was actually saying this week, because he actually made it onto their podcast about protest, and he made a very interesting point, and I should have said it yet. He basically was saying along the lines of, doesn't know if it necessarily means the Glazers are forced to sell, but they have been expressing recently that they are interested in buying baseball franchises should one come available. So I just wonder if, I don't know what the Glazers' finances are like, he didn't really go into that, if they could just afford to do that themselves, or, you know, do what they did with United or whatever. But I was just wondering, would that be something that they would be able to do financially? Because, you know, would they need to sell United in order to do that? Because there's a lot of money in baseball. There's more money in baseball, I think, than there is in the NFL. I think I'm right in saying that. So I just wondered if that's something that maybe they might be a bit more interested in moving into.
Well, you think, like, the flack they've taken, there is, you know, that they don't give a shit about any of it. And the argument that people have put inside the United, that they love the kudos of United. And you think, Avram Glazer probably thinks, yeah, I'm the dog's bollock. I had these visions of him walking, like, in denim jeans into a fucking club or something, going, hey, Avram. Fucking, but, like, they'd be nothing without like
shopping centres. I don't want to go back on a dark note, so I actually don't think for the longer term it might be a bad thing. But Barney, you talk about what will happen this summer. I think there's a good chance that what money they would have released for transfers, they think twice now, because they're not going to start pouring money into transfers if it's a bit of a poison.
No, but hang on, Shane. Joel's written us a letter saying he's looking into reinvesting in the ground. He's Now he's written us a letter. I'm totally, come on, Joel, you know. Thanks for contacting us, mate.
Just in case, have any of you lads checked out where the Super Cup final is?
Shane's got... There's like a pie in him for me. We've joked for 2 years, Gdansk. And pre-COVID, we actually had dreams to Gdansk and beyond. And now it's here, and it's like some cruel fucking spitback of a joke that, oh no, I'll be crying.
Yeah, our good mate Paul, we were checking out like rooms, and I realised, I couldn't really remember what I booked, but I realised I've got 8 beds in Gdansk and 8 beds in Belfast, and the Belfast one booked months ago, so.
It'll be like that night, the Europa League final will be like a cry wank. I'll be part giddy and then part absolutely desolate. That Coggy, I'm not going to explain what one of those is to you, mate. Ben's back.
What did you call that, a cry wank? Is this, what sort of word is that?
You never heard of that.
It's just a sob wank. Just going back to Belfast, I know we booked in the same hotel as Shane, but I was tempted. You can actually rent out George Best's childhood home, can't you?
Oh, fucking hell. Get us all there.
Well, I think there's only 3 bedrooms.
Hang on, you've just invited us all to Portugal, so it's the same space, Coggy. We're all there, mate.
I'm not going to share a bedroom with Barney at European final.
Right, Ben's back from the dead. You didn't go back to the pub to get another keg, did you?
I did, yeah. Keg my house, right, and dip back down the road and get another.
Right, we better finish. Back from last words, you lot. Any final profound thoughts on life, the universe and ponytails?
The only thing I would say, lads, is that for those that have got Amazon Prime, watch the first series of Outlander.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. You'd like it. It's historical, Nick, so you'd like it. But it's well worth a watch.
Well, I watched Nomadland last night with some wine. And that was fantastic. And the sad, it's very sad though. And the sad aspect is it's 95% of the people are real people playing themselves from the original story that the journalist wrote, but you just think this is getting way too heavy to fucking end this. But the disparity of wealth, you know, in America, and it goes back to, we're just pawn soldiers in the life, and it's our fucking football club that they took over at a whim of financial greed, and it's appalling. But get in your Bentley. Right, no, come on, let's end on a high, Nick. Please, mate.
Just sorry, before that, has anybody seen that Sir Alex Ferguson documentary that's just been released, a post on the forum?
It's reviewed in the next mag with a bloke coming up with a view that, I don't know, you'll have to wait till you read it, but...
Okay.
Red News is
Red
News is featured. They said they were going to use a cover to like put about the criticism, so we negotiated £200 and I gave that to Manchester Children's Hospital.
Okay.
That's the one we got.
A few months. Yeah,
so yeah. So at least
I'm about 20 minutes into it. It's good.
I'm waiting for people to abuse us when it comes out and going, you fucking twats, and I'll just go, surely over time you can be done. Right, come on, Nick, hit us with some last upbeat.
Well, now we've managed to get through, I feel a bit more assured that my booking at Brotherhood in Manchester is now gone. I had to pay a £50 deposit, and I thought, God, that would be a depressing £50 to sit there and watch Villarreal versus Roma in the final, wouldn't it? So I'm quite glad. So, yeah, the Red News sellers... I've got a table for six at Brewery in Manchester, so you know, if anyone wants to come down and say hello and have a pint with us, more than welcome to. I'm sure that we'll, you know, Ben will bring his 9-pint keg with him, or he'll have had it probably prior to getting there.
Hang on,
whether to book the next day off work.
I'll give you some mags, Nick. I'm not missing a trick here. Mark my words, their goalie is gettable. He'll make a mistake. You heard it here first, like my Cavani prediction. Right, cheers, lads. Thanks, everyone who listens. Onwards and upwards. Cheers, lads. Have a good week.
Cheers.
See you later.
See ya.